are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on a Rapid React episode. Unfortunately, not a Victory Monday, as the 49ers fall to the Kansas City Chiefs 31-20. We will get into how that happened, game notes, give out some game balls, initial thoughts here on Super Bowl 54, a lot more to break down as the week goes on. We'll do a mailbag tomorrow. I know a lot of you listeners have stuff you need to get off your chest after such a great season, such a letdown, and seeing that one slip through the 49ers' fingers. So we'll get that mailbag show on Tuesday, and then we'll see what happens the rest of the week here. A weeky Wednesday, I'm sure. Nick said he was going to come on twice this week. I don't know if he actually wants to. Maybe he will make an appearance on tomorrow's episode. Maybe just Wednesday this week for Nick Winkler, but we'll see what happens. We'll have to look ahead to the offseason. Now you get back on that horse and you get ready for the 2020 season. The 49ers are young. The 49ers are good. A lot ahead for the Niners, but we've got to look backwards. We've got to look back at what happened Sunday in the Super Bowl and how the Kansas City Chiefs ended up hoisting their first Lombardi in 50 years. You can hit me with those mailbag questions on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. I know I have some long emails already in my email box. If they're super long, I might not be able to read the whole thing and get it on the air, but I'm here for you. Yeah, hit me with whatever you need to, even if it's not for the show. At BDPeacock on Twitter, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. We'll get through this. And a lot to look forward to in the offseason. By the way, an NFC West Ultimate Division crossover starting next week on Monday. We'll get to know the division, recap what happened, look ahead, rank position groups, look at what's strong, what's weak about the division. We'll let the other hosts from the NFC West talk about how great the 49ers were to win the division this year. That might make some people feel better. We're going to start getting knee-deep into the draft here. It never ends in the National Football League, and it never ends right here on Locked On 49ers. It all started with the coin toss. Tails never fails, but it is now the sixth year in a row that the team that won the coin toss lost the Super Bowl. Niners defer and put their best unit on the field, put their defense on the field. I like it, and it started off great. Three and out for the 49ers defense, and really for 50 minutes of that football game, the 49ers were the better team, and they played better, and the defense was really good. I want to start with that defense. The first drive, quick three and out. Nick Bosa was his normal self. He was pressuring Patrick Mahomes, and the entire defense was pressuring Patrick Mahomes the entire evening. Bosa tips the pass on second down. Niners forced three and out, and Kansas City was going short, dink and dunk stuff, a lot of screens. That was their game plan early, then throwing in some wrinkles. Richie James nearly giving everybody a heart attack following that punt, drops it, puts it on the ground, picks it right back up. Niners start from deep in their territory. It was a weird game returning for Richie James. I almost feel like he was running this predetermined path on his kick returns, and it wasn't turning out well. I don't know. That was a weird one for Richie James. Maybe got in his head after he dropped that first punt and things weren't right. But not a great game returning for Richie James. And even though Dante Pettis was not active for this game, because instead Jeff Wilson at running back was active, Richie James still didn't see the field on offense either. So not a great game for my large adult son. But it started great for the 49ers. Debo takes a toss for 32 yards, and eventually the 49ers get down the field. Spagnuolo blitzes on third down. They double cover George Kittle. Chiefs get the red zone stop. And Robbie Gould gives the 49ers a lead with a 38-yard field goal. Shanahan didn't look happy about it. He was not happy about a lot on the sideline in this game, even when the 49ers were up. But on this drive, it looked like he thought Garoppolo might have missed somebody, or that they had numbers somewhere else. Look, if they're blitzing you and double covering George Kittle, somebody's got to be open somewhere, right? Not a lot of replays on that first drive, so I didn't see exactly what happened there, what Shanahan might have been mad about it, and I'll have to watch this game over again. I've seen it just the live one time, but it started out great for the 49ers. They jump out to a 3-0 lead, force the Chiefs to punt on their first possession. Hey, everything's great, and things would continue pretty well for most of the night. I wanted to start just by highlighting those first two drives, one for the Chiefs, one for the 49ers, just because, and, you know, obviously it's chronological, it's how the game started, but it just, you know, it was a nice start for the 49ers. This wasn't a game where their backs were against the wall or anything like that, and you snap your fingers, late in the game, you're up 10 points, great. How are you down all of a sudden by 11 points? How did it get there? Don't have time to go through the whole thing chronologically, but I want to go through some players and highlight some things that I saw throughout the game, and I want to start with Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, he wasn't spectacular, but he wasn't terrible. It's just two throws. If you just need two throws back. The obvious one, second quarter, getting pressured by Chris Jones, who had a great game for the Chiefs, by the way, gets away just enough from Chris Jones, but it's almost like, man, wish he would have taken the sack here, because instead, he ends up throwing an interception. It looked like he was maybe just trying to throw the ball away. Maybe it was just a heave attempt and he thought Debo could go up and get the ball, but the ball stays in bounds and just flutters into the arms of Bashaud Breeland, who also had a really good game for the Chiefs. And definitely not the way you want to start the second quarter, but a bad interception. What are you doing there, Jimmy G, throwing that ball? And then later, we'll talk about it more, but missing Emmanuel Sanders on a deep ball that could have been potentially the go-ahead or game-winning throw that was flat missed. And I want to see exactly what happened there. Was there something awkward about the route maybe that made Garoppolo expect him to be deeper than he was? Man, those throws. There's just a couple of throws, Garoppolo. There might have been one or two in there that you would like to have back, but glaring ones there for Jimmy Garoppolo. And unfortunately, he needed to be a little bit better for the 49ers on this night. The 49ers offense did some great things. But overall, when you look back, just missed opportunities. And late in the fourth quarter, too many drives ended without points. And even on the first drive, getting 3 points instead of six, the Chiefs played this weird bend, don't break brand of defense, and it really worked pretty well against the 49ers in the end. One thing you have to say about the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo, as he's always bounced back strong from turnovers. And could he do it again? Yes, he did it again in this game as well. And this is where the 49ers started to take control of the game, because the Chiefs had gone down and scored. Niners needed a big drive to go back and tie the game, and they did. They tied the game at 10. A Kyle Juszczyk touchdown, a nice little catch. Wasn't a perfect ball. He had to fight off a defender. Makes the catch, gets away from that defender, finds his way into the end zone. That tied the game at 10, but it was the fantastic response after the interception from Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers offense, and they were really feeling it. They controlled the game from that drive until 11:57 in the fourth quarter. And again in the third quarter, fantastic drive coming out. Garoppolo hits Debo, Kendrick Bourne, Kyle Juszczyk before Raheem Mostert finished it off with a 1 yard touchdown plunge. Niners have a commanding 20-10 lead and are really dominating both sides of the ball at that point. There are a lot of other players I want to highlight and talk about, but just to wrap up Jimmy Garoppolo's night, man, Niners playing so well right there. Dominating the game, both sides of the ball, 10-point lead. Then suddenly, after things couldn't be going any better, you intercept Patrick Mahomes for the second time, 11:57 left in the game, and then the 49ers just go dormant on offense. Three drives in a row, giving the ball back to the Chiefs. Quick three-and-out drive, which was killer in there. 2:39 to play. Niners get the ball back one more time, down 24-20. You think, oh, man, okay, this is the drive. Garoppolo finds Kendrick Bourne for 16 yards. Nearly picked off on a seam route to Bourne, and then they get the play. They get Emmanuel Sanders open deep, and Garoppolo misses him, and missed him by quite a bit. You want to win a championship? You want to be the guy that they build statues of? You want to lift up that Lombardi trophy? That's where legends are made. That's the backyard moment. That's the moment you live for. The 49ers had it. And Jimmy Garoppolo missed this one. And you're going to miss some. I'm not saying any big... This is not a big proclamation about Jimmy Garoppolo can't win it. Kyle Shanahan can't win it. He missed the big, he's not a big game guy. Maybe he's not, none of that. He just missed that throw. And those are the throws you want to win a Super Bowl. Those are the throws you got to have when they present themselves. And the 49ers missed this one. And looking back, it's probably the biggest play of the game. That leads to a 4th-and-10 sack, last drive, desperation, Kendall Fuller interception, and that was the ball game. And that would be the end of Jimmy Garoppolo's night. More on Kyle Shanahan. Are there some questions how he coached this game? Deebo Samuel, bright spots on the Niners D. And the Chiefs offense, of course, will give out some game balls. Coming up. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's like blue, the color blue, and chew, because you can chew it. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. That makes a lot more sense to me. For instance, most guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, Blue Chew can even help your follow-through for round two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code locked on to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. To get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms and dads, first responders, and elite athletes, whatever your activity level. And with the daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, we'll give your money back. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton for a Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONFL to learn more about their limited time free Apple iPad exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com. echelonfit.com/LONFL. I want to highlight some players in the 49ers offense, but I guess we've got to talk about the elephant in the room, and that was the game Kyle Shanahan called and the lack of aggressiveness on his part. Now, a lot of people say he lost a Super Bowl because being over aggressive and throwing it when he shouldn't have been, and he was a big part of blowing a 28-3 lead. That's what people will say about that game. And now people are going to come back and say Shanahan was probably not aggressive enough in this game. To me, it wasn't a play calling thing that you would really question Shanahan about. Maybe you could question some things now looking back and thinking, man, why didn't they run the ball here? Or why didn't they, you know, go back to Deebo, who I want to talk about in a second. But really the thing that I think people are going to point to Shanahan about is that end of first half. Not calling a timeout with 1:47 on the clock, giving his offense a chance to put that 2-minute drill out there and try to put some points on the board. It's a free drive that Shanahan basically gave away, and they almost actually went down and scored anyway or got into position because Jeff Wilson made a nice play on a little Texas route, a little angle route out of the backfield, and he's really good at that route, by the way. It's not the first time he's made a play. Scored a touchdown earlier in the season on that sort of a route. Then hits George Kittle on a long one that gets called back for offensive pass interference. But by then, you know, time was running down in the half. And there was only a few seconds left on the clock at that point. They'd have probably had to end up kicking a field goal anyway. He didn't give his offense a chance. Was it that he was not confident in Jimmy Garoppolo? Was he cool with just walking into the locker room with a tie? It was 10-10 at that point. He didn't want to have a free possession with 1:47 on the clock. He would have had two timeouts after taking the first timeout. Plenty of time for the 49ers to drive down the field. Was he afraid? Was he coaching with fear? Was he afraid the 49ers were going to give the ball back to the Chiefs? Look, the 49ers were going to receive the next opening half kickoff in the second half. They could go three and out there and give the ball back to the Chiefs. You could always give the ball back to the other team, but you get a free possession here to try to score, and Shanahan didn't take it. There's going to be questions about that, and I haven't heard any of the post-game stuff, and I'm sure he's already spoken on it. I just wanted to give my rapid react thoughts here, my initial thoughts without hearing why Shanahan did what he did. I'm sure he has a great reason for it, and I'm sure he's already been asked. So I'm going to go through all that stuff and watch the game again. Maybe it'll make more sense the second time or after he explains it. But that one's, I think, no matter what he says or how he explains it, there's going to be some questions about Shanahan after this game. And he's the best play caller in the league, so it's hard to question a guy like that. But he did come out on the wrong end on this night. Deebo Samuel, such a great player, such a great rookie season. This dude's going to be even better next year. This was year one for a wide receiver. Rarely are wide receivers hitting their peak at this point in their career. He's going to be better in year two and year three than he is now. I think he's going to be a better route runner. I think he'll just be a better piece of the offense as a receiver. But he's so good with the ball in his hands. From the opening drive, taking that end around, that toss for 32 yards. By the way, it looked like he was going to throw a ball back to Garoppolo on third and two on that opening drive. He ended up taking a peek after they tossed it to him. It looked like it was going to be a double reverse throw, right? Because did they hand it to Mostert, and then Mostert handed it to Deebo? And it looked like he might have wanted to throw to Garoppolo, but I think he wisely made the decision to tuck it, and he just took it up the middle in and got the 49ers a first down. Then he went slant god status on the TD drive following the Jimmy Garoppolo interception. More Deebo carrying the ball in the second half after a pair of Emmanuel Sanders catches, end around for 14 yards, and was by far the leading rusher as far as yards per carry go for the 49ers. He averaged 17 yards per carry on his three rushes, right? Where's the numbers? Pull this up here. Yeah, three rushes for 53 yards, 17.7 yards per carry. Then he caught five passes for 39 yards, and he was probably the biggest factor on offense for the 49ers as far as playmakers go. And when you talk about Kyle Shanahan and his play calling, they might have needed to try to get the ball into Deebo Samuel's hands, force feed it, hand it off to him, whatever you have to do in that fourth quarter to get the ball moving for your offense and get some points on the board. Deebo Samuel, phenomenal rookie year, and he's not done. He's only going to get better from here. Deebo did a great job running the ball, but the rest of the 49ers running game was weird because it was pretty successful, but didn't get utilized. It was a weird offensive game and game plan for the 49ers, and I don't know how off script Kyle Shanahan needed to go, but I don't think he drew it up to where Raheem Mostert was only going to carry the ball 12 times, especially for how much of the game the 49ers led. 12 rushes for 58 yards. He had the short touchdown. He had a 17-yarder in there, 4.8 average. I felt like he didn't quite have a chance to get going, and then there was a point in the game, and Spagnuolo did a really good job with that Chiefs defense, and they were sort of run-blitzing him, and they were doing what they could to try to stop the run, knowing when it was coming at certain points. Tevin Coleman looked good. He was running hard. He carried the ball five times for 28 yards. No Matt Breida. Jeff Wilson was on the field, but he didn't carry the ball. He was only targeted in the pass game, had that one catch for 20 yards. A weird game, a weird rushing game for the 49ers. And look, if it took Deebo Samuel, keep handing it off to him because he seemed like he was gouging him every time he touched the ball. Screen passes, whatever you have to do. But it was a weird night running the ball for the 49ers. When all is said and done, they averaged 6.4 yards per carry, only carried the ball 22 times, half as many as they had previous playoff games. Not a big night for George Kittle. They tried to get him the ball, seven targets. He had the offensive pass interference, ended up with four catches for 36 yards, doing his normal duties in the run game as a blocker. Emmanuel Sanders, obviously there was the big miss from Garoppolo deep down the field in the fourth quarter. He got three balls for 38. Spread the ball around a lot on offense, three catches for Kyle Juszczyk. But really on offense, once they sort of got that mentality, that attitude, that momentum going, post Jimmy Garoppolo interception, thought they had it, man. I thought that was it. They were getting physical. I thought, well, this is what it's going to be. They're going to pound him into submission now, and it's all going to be ground game. And it just sort of died all of a sudden in the fourth quarter when they had that momentum, and then it was gone. I do need to talk about the other side of the ball, though, and the 49ers defense, who they did a number on Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes got MVP, but if you came into this game, if I told you yesterday, said, hey, you can take this or leave it. Patrick Mahomes throws it 42 times. He only completes 26 of those passes, throws two touchdowns and two interceptions. You'd be crazy if you didn't take that for the 49ers. If you look at this box score, you say, oh man, the 49ers dominated this game. The 49ers had to beat the Chiefs if you see that line for Patrick Mahomes. But they gave it back to him too many times at the end of the game. And the Chiefs, Mahomes, they did it again in a hole. Unanswered scores. We saw it against the Texans, saw it against the Titans. Now they did it to the 49ers. 21 unanswered in the fourth quarter to beat the 49ers. And Patrick Mahomes takes home the MVP. But I think I might have given the MVP award to Damian Williams. Out of nowhere, he had a fantastic game for the Kansas City Chiefs. 17 carries, 104 yards. He had the 38-yard run that sealed it. He had a touchdown run, averaging 6.1 yards per carry, then had a touchdown catch and was good there, catching the ball for the Chiefs, four receptions for 29 yards. The game plan was nice for the Chiefs, too, with that option they ran multiple times with. And you know what? I wonder if, so the first time they ran that option down by the goal line, and Patrick Mahomes, he faked the pitch, and it really put, Tart was hung out to dry. There's not much you can do if you're Jaquaski Tart there except for hit somebody and choose one, and he kind of didn't try to play them both at the same time, and Patrick Mahomes ended up walking in the end zone for the touchdown. When they did it again with Nick Bosa hit Patrick Mahomes, made him pitch it, and hit him pretty good, and I wonder if he might have hurt Mahomes a little bit. Mahomes was limping around a little bit, not like where it looked like it hampered him physically, but the Niners got to him. The Niners pressured Patrick Mahomes. I think PFF said that there was 20 pressures out of those, 40-something dropbacks for Patrick Mahomes by the 49ers defense. A lot of those came from Nick Bosa, and Nick Bosa hit him too. And I thought that was the smart plays. At least they hit Patrick Mahomes, even though Mahomes was able to pitch that off to Damian Williams on that play and get a nice little gain out of it. I was surprised to see that Tyreek Hill's line looked good at nine catches and 105 yards, and he was heavily involved, but I didn't think that he really played that great. And then I noticed, okay, that was nine catches on 16 targets, so they threw a lot to him, and he only had nine catches on 16 targets, so that's pretty good by the 49ers for a guy that obviously Kansas City was trying to force feed, and Patrick Mahomes was looking for him, so that's why it looked like his numbers looked better than what his night looked like, because he came up empty quite a few times when he was targeted. Sammy Watkins had the big play, the 38-yarder down the right sideline on Richard Sherman. Travis Kelce didn't go big, six catches, 43 yards, did have the touchdown. Hated the pass interference call on Tarvarius Moore, but that's probably going to have to be a conversation for another day. The 49ers defense played a pretty good game against the Kansas City offense, and that's the thing that really stands out to me. You look at Patrick Mahomes' line and only completing 26 of 42 passes, the two interceptions. I mean, that's a dream scenario for the 49ers defense, and the fact that they weren't able to come away with the win. Maybe that just means the Chiefs were a lot better elsewhere, aside from Patrick Mahomes, than I gave them credit for. Or maybe it's just that the 49ers flat out blew this one. I do want to give out some game balls here in Super Bowl 54. The 49ers, I mean, it's a downer of a loss. The 49ers had a great season. There were some standout players in this game that deserve some credit. So let's give out some game balls next. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. And I can attest to it, going to spring training is awesome for any baseball fan. It's just a fun vacation, fun place to get away, great food. You'll rub elbows with baseball people and broadcasters, and it's just a really cool time. 10 stadiums, 15 Major League Baseball teams, 75-degree temperatures, all 10 stadiums in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles. Meet the players, get autographs before games, check out the upcoming prospects. One of my favorite things to do, go prospecting, find out who the next Major League stars are going to be. Amazing restaurants, tons of bars, craft breweries, of course, tons of outdoor adventures and hiking, biking. And you can even check off some must-see destinations from your bucket list, like the Grand Canyon. Bringing the kids along to spring training, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages. Horseback rides to games, activities, wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. Game balls for the 49ers in Super Bowl 54, my final game balls of the season. And it starts with, you know what? It's going to start with the fullback. I'm giving a game ball to Kyle Juszczyk. He had a really good game, and Nick Winkler called him out. He thought it was going to be a Kyle Juszczyk game, and it was a Kyle Juszczyk game. I would like to see him get more involved as a blocker and the 49ers run the ball behind him more. But fullbacks don't get a lot of credit in the NFL. I myself thought the 49ers overpaid for a fullback who makes twice as much as the next highest paid fullback in the NFL. But you grow to love someone as good as Kyle Juszczyk, as versatile as Kyle Juszczyk, how much they utilize him and what he's able to do for the offense and what he allows Kyle Shanahan to do with that 21 personnel when you have two running backs on the field. And he showed that he could be a weapon aside from just a blocker in this game. You can spread him out and put him just about anywhere in a formation. So Kyle Juszczyk gets one game ball for me here. And I think it would have been in the conversation for MVP if this game would have gone a little bit differently in the fourth quarter. Staying on offense, you have to give a game ball to Deebo Samuel, the rookie wide receiver. He was the best playmaker tonight for the 49ers offense. And really, when you look back, you realize he should have gotten the ball more. Niners really spread it around on offense in this one. Deebo was the only guy that really got anywhere close to 100 yards from scrimmage. He had, 92 total yards, 53 rushing and 39 receiving. Great season for the rookie. High hopes for him going into 2020. And a really good game. He gets a game ball. And on defense, there was a lot of good players, but I'm going to stay with the rookie here as well. And again, man, he's a difference maker. You see these numbers, and you see what the 49ers pass rush was able to do, and you see Nick Bosa with 12 pressures and a sack. It's perfect. It's exactly how you wanted it to turn out for the 49ers, except it wasn't. The Niners defense pressured Mahomes 20 times, 12 of those by Nick Bosa. So Nick Bosa gets my game ball, another rookie. One of the reasons why, if you're a 49ers fan, don't hang your head. The Niners are going to be back, maybe even better next year. There's a lot of reasons the Niners are going to be better. And two of the reasons are two of the guys that got game balls here, your first and second round draft picks in Nick Bosa and Deebo Samuel. DeForest Buckner had two sacks in this game. Ward was everywhere, 11 tackles. Nobody got behind him in the passing game with all that speed. The defense played well. Warner with the pick, even Tarvarius Moore, the forgotten man in the 49ers defense, he got a pick. He had a really good game. Hated the PI call on him, but I understand that it's the rule, but I hate the rule even more than the call. Can't bail out defenders like that, man. It drives me crazy. Seemed like everybody on defense made at least one play. But Nick Bosa, he's going to get the game ball. So those are my three game balls here in the Super Bowl. Kyle Juszczyk, Deebo Samuel, and Nick Bosa. Let me know on Twitter or via email if I forgot somebody or someone else you thought should have been MVP of this game. Yeah, that's actually a good question to throw out there to you guys. Who would have been your MVP if the 49ers won the game? On the Chiefs, I don't give game balls to the opposing teams, but Patrick Mahomes won MVP, and He did lead the comeback, and what a season he had. I mean, he's legit on every level, on and off the field. Niners did a good job against him, and he was still able to get it done here. But for the Chiefs, Damian Williams, that's your MVP, right? He had to be. He had a better game. I think he was a bigger reason why the Chiefs won than Mahomes was. Mahomes had an average game. Rashad Breeland had a hell of a game for the Chiefs defense. So did Chris Jones. And really, this is the key. This is the key takeaway of the whole thing is if you're giving out Chiefs game balls, Andy Reid, Spagnuolo, Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator, those guys should be getting game balls for you, right? If you're talking about the Chiefs. And really, the 49ers got outcoached, which hasn't been the case much this year, but I think they did in this one. Andy Reid, well-earned. I'm happy for Andy Reid. 21 years as a head coach. His 222nd career win on February 2nd, finally getting that ring. So I'm happy for Andy Reid, and he deserved it. They went out there, and they won this game. They earned it. They did a better job than the 49ers early and late. Aggressive on fourth downs. Pulling out some nice wrinkles in the game plan. And now that Andy Reid got his, Kyle Shanahan's the guy. He's the next guy up where people are going to look at him. And that narrative will be that Kyle Shanahan can't win the big game. That's just the way it is until he does now. Fair or unfair, he's going to get a lot of that. And he's going to feel some pressure. And he's going to continue to get asked questions about it, even if he doesn't buy into it. It's already happened with his last Super Bowl appearance as an offensive coordinator. And he had nonstop questions about that coming into this. What'd you learn from it? And now he's going to have even more piled on. Can't win the big one. What'd you do wrong then? What'd you do wrong this time? Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. Kyle Shanahan is kind of the new Andy Reid. Obviously, this is only his third year as a head coach versus 21 for Andy Reid, not able to win the big game. It's not easy to get there. It's not easy to win one. And Kyle Shanahan now is probably going to have some sleepless nights thinking about Super Bowl 54. I do have a second here to vent about the officiating. Not ideal, obviously, from a 49ers perspective. And say what you want about the pass interference calls, which I hate. If I was commissioner, my first priority in the offseason would be to look at officiating, look at the rules, and find out how you could cut penalties in the NFL by half, make things easier on the officials, and make it so they can be better at their jobs. The PI calls I hate. You can't bail out an offense, man. I just don't like allowing an offense to get bailed out when coverage is good, as if the DB turns his head. That makes any difference. If he's got the guy covered, he's got the guy covered, whether he knocks the ball down with his back or if he turns around and looks at it and runs through the receiver who's still trying to do the same thing as he would have and it falls incomplete. The rule book says that's PI on more. I hate that. It gives the team a free touchdown. It gives them the ball at the 1 yard line, first down. Dude was covered. Reward the defensive player there. The Kittle offensive PI, I mean, that's by the book. It's PI. I mean, it wasn't that egregious, but it was just right in front of everybody, and you could see the arm extend. I would like the rules to be changed to allow DBs and receivers to fight a little bit more, have a little bit more contact, let a guy come down with the ball and not have to throw a flag on every single play like that. It's a little ticky-tack for me. It just cut down on the penalties altogether. It would make for a better product, I think. The missed offsides on third down, though, that's unforgivable. That's an unforgivable mistake by the refs. Not calling that on someone who obviously jumps early on third down. And if you're going to let some things go, you can't be ticky-tack here and then let a bunch of holding go or not call an obvious offsides penalty. And then throw a flag on a DB with good coverage in the end zone because he didn't turn his head. Come on. All right, that's it from me. Out of time here. 49ers fall short in Super Bowl 54. I want to hear from you. Hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock. We'll do a mailbag. It's your show tomorrow right here. Locked on 49ers.